Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and we are doing a live broadcast from Manhattan today with a special presentation by Shelley Yates, who was the inspiration behind something called Fire the Grid. And it was a worldwide meditation that happened in 2007, July 17, 2007. 25 million people from around the world came together at the same moment to join minds to bring in a new level of consciousness. And there's a new level coming in at 11-11-11. This is Shelley's opening lecture, really, about that special date. And right now she's playing music, which is, she says, is encoded with a special energies or higher awakenings that are preparing us for that moment. So we're going to be hearing a lecture from Shelley. And stay tuned, okay? We're good? Okay. I'm just Skyping this. We did good. Okay. Whoops. Are we ready to go, Shelley? Mm-hmm. You ready to go? Oh, good. We're going live. Radio?
Introduction? Are we doing the 2.5 hours? Whatever you want.
Okay, thanks for being here. I know it was a last minute sort of invitation, but Shelley's really only in town for one night and to give this lecture, and I thought it was just really important she talk to people in New York because of what I feel is a really important message she's bringing through for the whole planet. So I'm also Skyping this on BBS Radio live as we hear it. It'll also be broadcast at 10, so if you miss anything, go home. And, or look at New Realities Archives as well. But I think Shelley, when I first heard her story, there's just something real that just came alive for me, that just really was different than, you know, I've heard it all. I've been around the block, I've seen everyone, the White Brotherhood, the Galactic Star Command, all these people, and it was just something real, not that that's not real, excuse me, but there was something really real about, there was something about Shelley, because it wasn't just a vision, this was an experience. And that's why I feel what you have to say holds more weight, it's more powerful, No. But I think it's powerful because it does come from experience. So it's preparing us for this big shift that we all know is coming. And Shelley was a kicking and screaming messenger. That was the other thing. She didn't want to say this. She didn't want to do this. She was like forced, greatness. Some people are born great. Some people like want to be great. And some people have greatness thrust upon them. Well, this is Shelley. And she's become a good friend, a member of the family. My nephew in the morning. But thanks, Shelley, for being in New York. And this is really, I think, the first public presentation about what's coming up on November 11th, 2011, 11-11-11. So welcome, Shelley Hayes. Thank you.
If I talk, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can I?
Yeah.
Use it for the broadcast. Okay. Wow, I put my glasses on because when I become overwhelmed, I put my glasses on. I mean, less work for my eyes. Alan just dragged me all over in the last hour, just before I come to see you. He's like, let's go to 47, let's go to that. You all must know Alan. Okay, so I'm like reeling from the last 25 minutes.
Okay, he's getting in shape for this.
He's getting me in shape, yeah.
Because this is the start of a worldwide tour.
Yes, this is the start of a worldwide tour. And he's absolutely right about a reluctant messenger. Right from the get-go, my dear sweet friend that you just heard singing, Anal, she called my house over and over and over. Now, you guys know the story enough that I don't have to go back to
the beginning. Everybody knows the story.
Is everybody good for me to kind of start where I'm starting, or will I go back for a quickie?
Go back for a quickie.
Okay. In 2002, I was what you call a Prozac princess. I was very depressed. I was on welfare. I had two small children, single mother. I was putting myself to university and kicking and screaming through that, like, you know, feeling that I was hard done by and everything was hard, and I was pretty unhappy. So I drove myself into a lake with my four-year-old. You know, when things are really bad, let's drive in a lake, and that'll kick-start it. But it was an accident. I hydroplaned. The wheels of my car went up on the guardrail, kind of like a roller coaster would. And two were in the water, and two were on the guardrail, so I was kind of roller-coastering into the water, very, very slow. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the car flipped upside down, flew itself over the guardrail, and out into the lake 10 feet. I was only doing like 20. So it was all ordained, it was all orchestrated, and it was supposed to happen, and I had agreed to it, which I can't even fathom why you would do that. But here I am in the lake, the car is sinking to the bottom of the lake. Now, I can make light of this now, and you can well imagine at that moment with your four-year-old in the car, there's nothing like. So I looked at him, and I said, okay, Mommy's going to get us out of this car. Okay? He said, okay, Mommy. And I said, okay. So I tried the windows, and when I put my finger on the window, the electric windows came down four inches. Electricity, water, didn't work. Car shorted out. Water is barreling into the car. It's November. My little guy's sitting next to me, and I looked over at him, and I said, okay, here's it. I was a lifeguard, scuba diver. I mean, I was used to water. So I said, okay, Ev, we have to wait for the car to fill up, and then we're going to swim out of this car. And Evan, like, okay, Mommy, I hear you, you know. So I reached my hand out, my right hand, and I wrapped it around his coat, so I had hold of him here. The other hand is on the door handle, and I'm waiting. And the water's coming up over my body. But see, I was a little disoriented because I was upside down. So the water was actually coming up my body this way. So I was underwater before the current could possibly be filled enough to get the door open. So I had hold of Evan, and I'm holding on to him, and I'm wrestling with the door, and I'm wrestling with the car, and I can't do everything with him in my hand. So in my mind, I thought, if there's air in that car, it will be in the back. So I took his little body, and I pushed him over my head into the back seat. And of course, by now, I couldn't speak to him. So with full effort, then I gave it all my all to get out of this car. And I couldn't get out of the car, so I had to breathe. And the moment I had to breathe, I took a deep breath in, and water flowed into my lungs like fire. And I went into pure panic mode, because if I'm feeling this pain and anguish, so is he. And all I wanted was his body back so that he knew I didn't push him away at that moment. As he's dying, I pushed him away. And so I'm frantically searching the water. I haven't cried for a long time. I'm frantically searching the water for a foot or a coat or something. And all of a sudden, this booming, majestic voice says, "Relax." Well, I said, I didn't take orders at the best of times in the real world. I'm certainly not going to take them from this booming voice. So as if it knew that about me, it started to lull me. You're okay. You're okay. We're here with you. You're fine. Now, I stopped searching for my son. I stopped everything. Time stood still. And this voice is now lulling me into a state that seems like eternal. I'm sure it was moments. But when I look back, now it seems like a long time. So finally, this voice says, give yourself over to the water or you're going to drown. Which I said, no shit, Sherlock. I'm drowning. I mean, I couldn't, like, I'm getting a wise-ass ghost on my deathbed. I had no idea. I was an atheist. I had no idea what was happening. So the voice continued to lull me and say, give yourself over. It's in the surrender that you will allow yourself to come to the place. So I said, why am I fighting so hard? I just told you, you know, I'm depressed, I'm Prozac. I'm like, okay, well, I might as well go. So I put my arms out, and I said, give yourself over an absolute pleasure. That was my last dying thought, and I died. And most people go down the tunnel and see the light. Now, that was the experience Evan described to me, and I did ask his permission to tell you a few pieces of his story. And he went down the tunnel and saw the light. I didn't. I came right out of my body, out of body experience, however people describe it. And I was taken off into the clouds up in the sky. And I was held in a glass room with these beings. And there were six of them. And when I was there, they started to tell me that they were going to give me the instructions of how to come back and bring Evan back to life. But I was only a serial form. I had no body, but yet I could see everything. So as I talk tonight, when we get, apparently we have a lot of time, you guys can ask me whatever you like. So I will answer you. But I'll just kind of flip through it, even though it's longer than I thought it was going to be already. Anyway, these beings said, we're going to send you back. We're going to tell you how to save your son, and then we're going to come and teach you. So the next thing I know, I'm coughing up water on the side of the road. I have been underwater for 15 minutes. They know that because that's how long it took them to get me out from the minute they got there. And then they had done 7 minutes of CPR on my body. They know that because they were there. So now we're at 22 minutes, and it's still in the lake. And my first breath as I pulled myself forward was, get my baby out of the lake. And they threw themselves back, oh my God, there's a baby in the lake. So the two guys that had gotten me out were hypothermic and just in shock, so other people went in, couldn't find his body in the car, and miraculously, there was three miracles, but it's a longer story, so I'll just jump ahead. There's a boom truck. The boom truck hooks to the axle of the car, and as they draw the car up out of the water, his little body's floating in the back window. And I'm losing it. And I'm screaming, I killed my baby, you know. And they're putting me in an ambulance. And the guy who saved me, who hauled me out of that water, is going, it's okay, he's all right. Like, how human of us to lie to somebody. It's okay, he's all right. But he'd been there now 30 minutes, the better part of 30 minutes. I mean, think about it, boom truck alone, you know. Anyway, I get to the hospital, there's a whole chaos around that, and all of a sudden, my girlfriend comes in and says, your son's alive. Get your ass off this table. Come on, we've got to go. Your son's waiting for you. And the doctor's saying, your son's brain dead. We've already got confirmation from the hospital. Your son's gone. Stay where you are. So I hopped up stark naked in all my obstinance and said, you don't give me some goddamn clothes. I'm swearing like a trooper. I'm going naked. And so off I go. When I get to my hospital, it's my son's hospital, he's hooked up to everything. Every tube, he's bleeding out of every orifice. All the tubes are running blood. He's got a crown of wires. And I look at him and I go, that's not my son. But it was my son. So anyway, the doctor says, okay, we made a mistake. We shouldn't have resuscitated him. This is a huge mistake. Please let us unplug him and let him pass. His lungs are filled with water and blood. We don't even think he's getting any oxygen. And I said, I need a minute. So I went out in the hallway, and I'm calling to something. Tell me what to do. What's happening? I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, the same beautiful voice, the same euphoria came over me, and it said, remember, dear one, have faith, child. We're here to tell you what to do. And I was filled with this beauty, and they started to download what was happening. There were two bodies. There was a human body, and there was a spirit body, soul body, etheric body. This is where we don't define in words what it is. You either feel it in your heart or you're looking to feel it in your heart. So they're explaining the differences and they're telling me to leave my son's body to the doctors. They're doing what they need to do. Here's what you need to do. So they told me that the palms of our hands and our feet had portals of energy that flowed out of us, divine energy that was part of us, that was part of the divine. And if you put your hands on the body, fully contact, it would circulate through his body, through your body, like a blood transfusion. So the biological body was able to actually infuse blood. Well, the energy body is actually able to infuse energy. And they said that his body was so badly depleted that one individual could not restore it. So I needed hundreds of people. And I was like, hundreds of people? Where am I going to get hundreds of people? This is ICU of a major Canadian hospital. How am I going to make this happen? And then they said, call everybody you know. So I did. I went into the doctor. I said, I need 3 days. He said, this is highly unorthodox. I said, Mother Hero, I said, what the hell do you care? You already said he's dead. Give me the 3 days. And he did. You know, that in itself is a miracle. So anyway, by the way, there's a gag order on me at that hospital. Nobody's allowed to talk about this story. Doctors and nurses, hospital staff, HR, everybody. No talking about Shelley Gates. So anyway, I called everybody I knew. And they called everybody they knew. And a friend of mine showed up from the Canadian Navy with more people he knew and trays of food to feed all the people that were there. And my mouth is hanging open. I don't understand what's going on, but I'm just rolling with it. So people touched him. They didn't even know what they were doing because I would take their hands and say, just hold him. See, I didn't want to tell anybody. Oh, by the way, all this information is coming from a light beam. Right? So I said, just touch him with your hands. And then after they were there for a period of time, I'd pick their hands off and I'd say, now tell them about your greatest human joy. Because we had to urge the energy essence, the joy being inside, to stay. You know, we had to convince it that it was worth staying. So people came through his room and we had an alarm clock, we timed it, it went all day and all night, three full days. Giving energy, talking about joy, giving thanks, playing music, my kids' favorite music, Aerosmith, Bon Jovi, rocking in ICU, you can't even imagine. There was something, no negative energy in the room, doctors couldn't speak about what was happening, nobody could go in and treat him like he was in a coma, they had to talk like he was awake, good morning Evan, how are you? No sadness, no crying. And everybody did it. But later I learned that they all did it because they thought I was crazy. And they were eating me. He's going to die. Let's just give her a little bit of time to assimilate and let him go. So in 3 days, his body died. And it died and it died till the third day when he smelled like rotten meat. And my friends were smelling it, but they wouldn't dare tell me. And I was smelling it. So I went to the doctor and said, what's that smell? And he said, your son is rotting. He didn't mince any words. He said, please unplug this boy. So I didn't. For a woman who had no faith, I kept holding faith for something, but that must be mother's love, because it certainly wasn't anything else. So finally, I went out in the hallway by the end of the third day, and I'm looking up at what am I talking to. I don't even know what I'm talking to. And I'm going, I'm doing everything you told me. Why is he getting worse? And all of a sudden, I hear Shelley come, he's awake. So I fly into my son's room, and he's sitting up in the bed looking around like, what is going on? And I said, hey, baby. And the doctor goes, your son's brain dead. And I said, you need to be quiet. And I said, hey, baby, it's mommy. He's looking right at me, and I know he knows who I am. And the doctor said, your son is brain dead. I said, you and I are done talking. So I said, is my name Sheila? Right to my son's face. And he looked at me like, you don't know your own name? What's wrong with you? I said, is my name Shirley? And he looked at me again like, you know. And I said, is my name Shelley? And he nodded his head up and down. I looked at the doctor and I said, if you got anything more negative to say, you better go tell my mother. My mom and I were having a lot of problems at that time, as most human beings do, you know. So anyway, as far as I was concerned, everyone was well, and we weren't going to discuss it any further than that. But the doctor started telling me all the things that were wrong with him. He would never poop. His bowels were completely passed out of his body. And he would never stand or, you know, all these things. He'd never eat. And I was like, we'll deal with all that later. I don't want to hear any more. And within 24 hours, we were in recovery. So that day when I walked in that room, the smell of death was gone. The burns on his chest from the paddles, the electric paddles, were gone. The blood pouring out of the tubes into the different things were gone. And this kid was back. And the light in his eyes was beautiful. So, that was much longer than I was going to tell, but you guys seem to be drying this, so I want to share anything I'm feeling. So for 3 weeks we sat in the hospital with people coming and going. A team of 8 neurologists from across Canada, the best neurosurgeons in the country, showed up. And I said, do you want to know what we did? And they said, no, we're trying to figure out what we did. What we did. And I congratulated them. I told them they were beautiful, wonderful doctors that fixed the human body. Thank you. But nobody wanted to know, and to this day does not want to know any more of the story than that. Even though for 3 days, a major ICU in Canada hospital let this happen. So you know why they don't want us to know this. Because we'll all be at ICU saying, I want to do what she did. We'd have chaos in the hospital. So they kind of put the kibosh on that. So that's the history of this. So I went home with my son. I'm still on welfare. And I'm still miserable and on Prozac. And now I had no car. So things did not get better. But I got on with my life and I was doing my thing. Couldn't figure out what was happening or why it happened. Except for me. For me. Now I understand that everything negative that comes our way, we've ordained and orchestrated for growth and learning. So it's like when something bad happens, you say thank you, which is completely contradictory to what we feel. Thank you for the opportunity to grow and become closer to my divinity. So 6 months later, I'm in my car and I'm taking my children to see my father because I'm just toasted. I just got to go and let my daddy take care of me. And on the way, it's about 7 o'clock in the morning, the energy fills the car up, and I'm like, something's happening, and all of a sudden I hear, hello, dear one. I almost drove off the road. And I went, you're the voice from the car. And he said, yes, we are here again with you now. They never say I. They always say we, even though it's a single voice, and in my case it was a masculine voice. And he said, we're going to come many, many times now, and we're going to teach you about what's happened and what is happening with your planet and what's happening with you as a race of humans housing these divine beings. We want to teach you. So I was so overwhelmed by this that I started to cry, and all I could say was, don't leave me here. Take me with you. Don't leave me here. Take me with you. Even though my children were in the car, the feeling of going there was so much more beautiful and blissful that I couldn't fathom being left behind again. So they said, what you did for a dying boy with a small group of people, you, meaning us, you can do for a dying planet with a large group. So that was it. He was gone. And I pulled the side of the road and crawled out of here. So that was July of 2003, and now we're at October 2010. And they have come over and over and over and over. And it's always the same type of experience, pure bliss, pure communication, always based in love, always with truths to share. But I don't want to share any truth. I had two exes who wanted custody of my children and they were going to use this against me. And sure enough, they did. And they said, she's crazy, so on, so on. So the beings came and they told me about the grids. They said there was a grid above us, there was a grid below us. And that we, as Aboriginal humans of the Earth, original species, had always been in gratitude, take what you need, give thanks. And we had always been that way, and we had been conduits of energy that flowed from the heavens through us to the earth, flowed from the earth through us to the heavens, and we were like a cycle of energy rolling. Something happened, and that stopped. So the grids between humanity are now off. It doesn't mean they've disappeared. It just means they're off. But the grids between geese and elk are still on. That's why they can run in herds and not bump into each other. So we're moving towards a time when we're going to turn these grids back on. So they said that the grid above us was depleted and that it needed to be charged and that human love, the same type of energy that we had given Evan, could fill this grid up and recharge it. So I was like, yeah, well, how am I going to put my hands on that? Because I'd learned to do hands. And they said, oh, that was human to human. You're an infinite. You're a divine being, and your mind is your tool. What you think, you create. Where you put your mind, your energy flows. So you're going to unite a mass of people such as the world has never seen. And in all my humor, I went, yeah, I'm on welfare. I can't see that happening. I really didn't know how that was going to happen. So anyway, the instructions came, and finally I met the singer of the music, ML, and I told her this story I'm telling you. And she looked at me with the beautiful eyes, and she said, I've been waiting for you for 15 years. She said, an angel came to me 15 years ago and said that someone was coming and that 1 hour of our time would change the course of humanity, and I've been waiting for you. And I said, you're crazier than I am. Thank you very much. and I'm going back home. So back to the beginning of the story where I was starting to tell you, she called me over and over again telling me that, you know, you have to do this. And I said, look, I really don't know what you're talking about. I really don't know how to help you. I gave you what I knew. And so finally she called me one day and told me that I owed a debt of gratitude to the light. That every morning I looked at my beautiful boy's face, I owed a debt of gratitude. And Shelley Yates knew how to pay a debt of gratitude. So even though I didn't know how to do anything else, I would follow the instructions. So the instructions came. What did the site look like? What were the photographs? What were the images? What were the words? What were the pictures? When I asked them to dictate the words, you know how people say they channel the exact words? They said, you have to put something of yourself into this. You have to own it. In the doing, you create the reality. So I had to write the words myself from what they taught me. And that's always been the way. You won't ever see me stand up and tell you exactly what they said. And I never say the same thing twice because it depends on the mood you're in. You know, it's the same story, but it's slightly different. So I had everything in place. And Al's husband, Bradfield, the creator of the music, which is a whole other set of stories, did everything for free. I did everything for free. So the whole thing was done for free as per instructions. Jesus Christ came to the world with a message of love for humanity for free. And so will you. I said, okay, done. So I'm standing in my kitchen one day, and I'm talking to, hello, I did everything you said to do. I'm ready. Bring it on. And that's what I said. And the next morning, George Norrie called me. And I almost fell over because I didn't know who George Norrie was, but he very quickly told me who he was. And I went, a little quick. Not quite what I was expecting, but as usual, nothing was ever what I expected. And George Norrie says, I'd like you to be on my radio show and tell me the Fire the Grit story. And I said, okay. And expected he'd call me in 3 weeks, you know. And he said, I'll call you back tonight. He said, I had a cancellation. Okay. So I spoke that night, and that was the first night that I opened my heart to be a vessel for the divine, and I said, okay, listen, I don't have a clue what to say. I'm not a speaker. I don't know what I'm really talking about except your message. So I opened myself as a vessel. Please speak through me and tell the world what you want them to hear. But it never came through in channel like I've heard other people say. It was me speaking, just translating what I had heard, so to speak. So I spoke for a full hour with George, and I said, thank you very much. And that catapulted Fire the Grid. And Fire the Grid, with one email to humanity and a phone call from George Norrie, became the world's largest mass meditation ever held. Princeton got involved, measured the energy. Dr. Emoto got involved and did a crystal for Fire the Grid. You can go on site, you can go online, you can check it out, it's all there. So we estimated from what we had received in emails and how much was happening, we had 40 million people sign on and read close to the whole site in 30 days. So that was a lot of people. So they estimated 25 million people in 98 countries. We knew we had 98 countries because people signed up as team leaders. So we had people from everywhere. That was very exciting, but I still was walking it with reluctance. I was like, oh, yeah, great. I'm really happy. Good for you. You know, I'm glad I did what I was told to do. Thank you very much. And Fire the Grid happened, and it was beautiful. I had some very cool experiences myself, and I thought I was free. And they came again, and they said, well, there's three events. And I was like, oh, man, here we go. Okay, so what's the next event? Now, I'm embroiled controversy with my exes. This is splattered over the internet. We go digging for it. And they wanted custody, saying I was crazy. I was talking to light beings. And they were fervently going after my children because I was insane. So I followed the instructions for Fire the Grid too, but I very quietly said, I'm out of here. Okay, I've done what you asked. It's all in place. I'm retreating because I'm afraid. I had death threats from people that I had no right to speak to you ever, and that this would all be settled that way. So I was afraid for myself and my children, and even though I had the light rolling through me and feeling it fiercely true, the human piece of me, you know, our human is very protective. So I retreated, I withdrew, and I didn't do Fire the Grid publicly or openly. Now, to move forward, in March of this year, I had my final court date And the judge publicly said, not only is she not crazy, it's too bad we don't have more humans on the planet like her. So this is documented in a Canadian... You're a lawyer, would this not be called precedent? So I was thrilled. And the beings came and said, okay, we're ready for three. Now, the instructions were actually 3, 2, 1. We're in a countdown to a time. We're about to shift into a new time. The first part of the grid was about becoming receivers for energy coming from what I call the brilliant infinity. People call it God, the source. Any words that, you know, are comforting to you, that's what it is. But to me, it was the brilliant infinity. And it came through us, moved through our love body, our joy, because it was the instructions were pray, meditate, and if you didn't do those things with joy in your heart, don't do them. Find your human joy and give thanks, which was the instructions for Evan, to be in joy with him. So even people, like they gave me a story about Joe, and I tell this story all the time. Joe's a construction worker, he's kicked back with his can of beer and his football game, and right now where he lives, this is his joy. So as soon as he says thank you, he lifts his field and he starts to find joy in things other than what he has right now. And then it's an evolution of lifting the field. So part of the grid one was all about pulling the energy through us into the water table. They said the water table was the most, it was the blood of the earth. It was the delivery system of the planet. So the love we brought through, it was coming anyway, whether we participated or not, was going to go into the water table, circulate around the globe with a healing energy, and then it was going to be housed in a crystal bed under Brazil. And it would be housed there until the date of July 20, 2009, at which time the Earth was now in balance. It couldn't hold that high energy. It had to release it. And when it did, it went up through the mountain that holds Christ the Redeemer's statue. And the top of the statue acted like a laser, an antenna, and it bursted forward out of that. And humanity could again participate, and I'm sure a lot of people did, but we were not, like I said, I was kind of in hiding. We were very low key. And the energy was, now we were conduits. Humanity was again going to hold a place of joy, this time with the thinking of what would you like to see for your world. And it was driven out to the universe, to the brilliant infinity, again, using us as energy. So the first part of the grid was about being defined. It was like Horton Hears a Who. You probably all heard that story. It's about saying, we're here, we're here, we're here. There's enough of us here that desire change. And we know how powerfully connected we are to divine, and yet we vote to change. So they called it be defined. Be defined in that knowing of who you are. The second one was be present. In the knowing of what you are now, you have to practice, like my human. I think that's why I had to walk it the hard way, so I could say to you, look, walking in the light takes practice. So the second one was be present. Be present in the moment. Be present with each other. Look for the kindness, even though somebody's treating you badly. So the third one is become what we were intended to be when we were first here, divinely connected to source, balanced in harmony, creating all that we needed, abundant in our experiences and our joy. And everybody goes, oh, you're idealistic. And I said, well, everything these beings have ever told me has been true, right down to the fact that they gave me 10 songs in order, grassroots music, a hit was already created, it was coded. All of us are being coded. This 11:11, wake up, wake up, wake up. And so his music was coded, and I was hearing the code. And they said, put these 10 songs in order. Bradfield has the first song and the last song in his heart. They're already there waiting to come out. Put them together and listen to it. So this was code for me, wake up code for me. But they said it would be residual code for all others that listened. They would hear a truth. So I called Bradfield up and I told him the story about the music, and he kind of said to me, they don't go together. You know, that's career suicide. None of that, that doesn't sound right to me. I've been doing this a long time. And I said, look, do it, don't do it, I don't care. At this point, I'm like, I don't care. So he did do it. He did it for me, and he sent it to me, and when I heard it, I downloaded a 28-page booklet that went with the music, talking about who you really are, how to connect, and what this music would help you do. And he donated 30 minutes of that music for free on my site, and you can go and listen to it. It's beautiful, and it's coded. It's great. But his album became the number one hit in spiritual and New Age music that year. So once again, they had shown, you know, that when you follow the directions, wonderful things come out of it. So Farther 1, which is actually 3 for you guys. I'm sorry I confused you a little bit, but it is a countdown. 3, 2, 1, blast off. We're ready. Let's do this. So here we are at Fire the Grid 1, and the instructions came before the whole March trial with the chaos of the human. And the instructions were to find a bus that housed my family. Because I told them I wasn't doing anything else without my children. They said, okay, take your children with you. You need a bus. So what they're talking about is one of those motorhome buses. You know, got beds and stuff, a little kitchen. I said, what do you want me to do with the bus? And they said, we want you to careen from Alaska to Mexico and release America. And I said, what do you mean release America? They said, right now, that America was anchored to the densest energy on the planet. Now, that doesn't mean we're all in negative, dense, horrible anything. It's just kind of the biology of the planet. That America is anchored. And that enough Americans and Canadians, because it was the whole continent, and obviously the world, but the energy's here, would release, and like a domino effect, would fall through the planet, and it would start and catapult the change that was coming. It's coming anyway. So we can participate or we cannot participate. It's up to us. And there's no good or bad. There's no money to be had. There's no money to give. There's nothing to join. There's nothing to sign up for. What do you do? What do you do on Fire the Grid? Well, they said that, like my son, there was two parts. The first part was to recognize that we live on a planet with each other, and that the first tier of Maslow's hierarchy of needs must be met for every living being on this planet first and foremost before we do another decorate. Not another statue, not another reno, not another any of those things. Let's get people fed, clothed, housed, loved, clean water, clean food. Let's care for each other. And in that, we would start the process. In the doing, you create the reality. Step towards Maslow's first tier for every living being on this planet. How do you do that? With your mind. You can use a coloring book and crayons. Anything bright and colorful. You can dance, you can sing, but what you're intending, what you're wishing, is for the planet to be clean and free of oppression, for the planet to have abundance of clean water, food for everyone, shelter for everyone. If this area is too crowded, let's move people. It's time to start looking at the planet as a whole ecosystem, and that the first thing you are on the planet is a human being. I'm not a Canadian, you're not an American. We are human beings on one planet. We have so much land, so much water, and we can share it. But it means stepping into it, enough of us saying yes. No longer are going to stand by and let these things happen when we know we have individual power in our divinity to think it into being. So I started saying stuff like, how's it going to happen? How do I do it? How do I make that government? That's, you know, and I'm like in chaos of my mind. And they said, stop thinking about the how-tos. Just know you can turn towards it and step into it. So they said if there's a product you don't like, for instance, do not badmouth things. Do not put them down. Do not say, oh, that's bad and this is good. You look at it and go, oh, do you know what? This doesn't seem to be harmony and conducive to the well-being of our planet and our people. So, oh, look, this works really well. Why don't we use this? So you turn from that which does not work and you move towards that which is better. And each time you move towards that which is better, you elevate, you elevate, you elevate. Change falls into place. You don't have to worry about cruelty to animals at this point because we're self-policing, we're self-caring, and nobody would ever hurt an animal, much less another person. So all these symptoms that we're constantly putting at one cause, new cause, this cause, that cause, we're dissecting, we're dividing our attention. We're dividing our attention by hundreds and hundreds of causes. Now, please don't think for one second I think that all these causes are not beautiful. But the first cause we really need to put our manpower, our time, and our money towards is Maslow's for everyone on the planet. food, shelter, water, clean air. That's the first agenda. And they gave me an example. They're always great with examples. They said, if you owned a house and the foundation of that house was crumbling, you would not take your $500 spare money and wallpaper the bathroom. You would go downstairs and you would start to repair the foundation. And if you got another $1,000, you'd go, oh, I'd love to have a new mirror for the kitchen, but I got to put it into the foundation until my foundation is strong. And once the foundation is strong and sturdy and can hold the house, now I can look at beautifying it. Now I can look at saying, what else is there? But until everybody is fed and clothed and cared for with love and compassion, that's the foundation of this planet. We should not put any more money into beautifying it. We have to funnel the money into one cause, which is that. So this is all their instructions. It's huge. You immediately get overwhelmed and go, oh, but it's not about doing it all or making it all happen. It's about knowing you can, turning towards it, stepping into the light and saying, yes, I'm a divine being. I'm intending a better future. I'm constantly striving to be a better human. They gave us some instructions on how to get the energy from the dense energy of hate and greed and fear to the higher energy of love, compassion, and sharing. How do you do that? The first three were, one, listen to uplifting music. The universe is only tone. The only thing it knows is frequency and tone. You yourself are a tonal light being that exists in all infinity. And that through that music, you find joy. So listen to uplifting, joyful music. Feel it, not just with your ears, but with your body. And like my little guy says, Bon Jovi rocks. If that's his joy, then kick it up, man, and listen and enjoy and be alive. The second one was do random acts of kindness. In random acts of kindness, you're agreeing to your original contract that I'm a divine being and I see you. You're having a bad day and you just yelled at me and I'm going to say something nice. Or I'm going to look at you and find a beautiful compliment to just leave you with a nugget of hope and love so that your day's better. The third one was find your human joy and without judgment. Remember Joe and his can of beer? Don't judge Joe's joy. Where he lives right now is where he lives. The prostitute on the streets of New York cannot even relate or even in a minuscule amount to a monk living in Tibet. Talk about worlds apart. They will not have the same joy. But whatever joy they do have, the face of your child, you know, the warmth of on a cold night, whatever your joy is, even if it's minuscule, the more you practice saying thank you, thank you, thank you. I always say in threes because it amplifies your truth. You will amp up your own frequency. You will bring it higher and you'll find joy in things you had no idea were there, including nature and animals and each other. So what you think is a material joy will start to fall away. There's no real doing in it. In the doing, you create the reality. High frequency music that brings you joy. Random acts of kindness towards each other, the animals, the planet. Find your joy, live it fully, don't judge, say thank you. They said that would bring you out of the 300 megahertz up into the 800 megahertz. And when enough of us are vibrating at 800 megahertz, all these things I just said were idealistic, will start to happen. We'll think it into being. We're the dreamers. We will dream it into being. But we have to get enough of us doing it. So I said, well, that's all great. So we're going to be high-frequency beings. And they said, yes, you're going to hold high-frequency events. This bus is about bringing this message to America and Canada. The concentration is there. That doesn't mean, I suppose, that, you know, it would be great to go Australia and share it, but my concentration and my message is to deliver it here at home. Which, funny enough, isn't that where we should care for first? You know, like everybody taking care of their own space, the world would start to be taken care of. So they also told me that once you start to elevate your field, you want to maintain it. You want to get your field up and keep it up. Well, how do you do that? Again, three principles, three rules, three directions, whatever you like to call them. Don't disintegrate in your differences. Unite in your similarities. The three are, do no harm. first and foremost to yourself, for until you love yourself, you will never love another. Second one, do all that you do with honesty and integrity. It will deepen your relationship with yourself, with your fellow man, the planet, and the stars. You will become a whole, full being in these practices. And there's no money. Nobody's asking you for any money. They're yours. The third one, and coincidentally, from this first set, find your human joy. Do not judge it. I cannot tell you enough that whatever the joy is, don't judge it. Live it fully. Say thank you. Which brings me to, I did a talk, and it was a really large room. There was 500 people, and a man in the back corner stands up and he says, my joy is to rob a bank. And I said, well, if you can do it with honesty and integrity, without harming anyone, go for it. Because as humans, our first thing is to break them down. But that's not how it works. It's a symbiotic wholeness. So this is what Fire the Grid 1 is all about. It's about realizing, be defined, I know who I am. Be present, I'm walking and practicing. And I call it learning to walk in the light. Because I'll tell you what, you can't stay there all the time. It would be great if we could, but what happens is you're there for two or three days and you have a bad day and something happens and you step out of it and you go, grumble, 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 grumble. Oh yeah, I forgot what I was doing. And you step back into it. So one of the things that I started doing in the very beginning, practicing this concept, was every time I would go pee, which is like 10 times a day, you're alone, it's quiet, you have a moment. Find something to be thankful for. And I always joke that the toilet seat is good enough for me sometimes. You know, I'm not in the woods peeing in the woods. So these concepts about finding a ritual that works for you, don't give your power away. You don't have to follow anybody else's rules and regulations, but if you have them and you love them, practice. It doesn't matter what you practice. You know, find a stone and rub it. You're now connected to all of Earth, all of the stars, all the humans. You can put your intentions in it. Keep it by your bed. Good morning. Good night. Build your own rituals that remind you what you're doing. I have tattoos on my arm. And you believe me, I don't like pain. And I don't like tattoos. But I've come to love them because they're my commitment. This one is for commitment. And this top one is for surrender. They mean something to me. And the children of the world are marking their bodies for a reason. They remember tribal mind. They're marking their bodies because they're being called back to one mind thinking. They remember their tribal mind. They're young. They came in this world resonating much higher. So they said if you were to take an egg and throw it into a bowl of semi-set jello, it would go into the center. And the little tail would close in behind it and the egg would be completely immersed in the jello. This is what is happening to our planet. As we move through the galaxy towards what the Mayans call the galactic center, the 2012 phenomenon, all that is happening, as we move to the center of that place, we're coming closer and closer to being encased in a brand new field that was never there before. Once we're fully encased in that field, we are then not only allowed, but it's our divine right to charge the field in which we live. How do we charge it? With our mind. We think it into being. So this field comes to completion when when it sucks in behind and the egg is fully encased on November 11th, 2011 at 11:11 GMT. In the same way, Fire the Grid 3, or the beginning, started where we all sat, Japan, Brazil, Canada, everywhere in the world was according to GMT. The clock on my site was donated from a man who lives in nature, a most beautiful, beautiful man named Victor. He donated everything for free so that we would know exactly, oh, in my country, in my city, there's my time. So when you sat down that day to give your intention to the world, you know everybody else is exactly in the same spot. And they said, if you find yourself, you can't wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do it. Hand to paper, in the doing you create the reality. Write out your intentions first for the planet. So I go back to the two things that we have to do. The planet is the first one. See it as a whole unit and us as a collective whole sharing it. Then the second instruction is what they told me to do with Evan. Bring your personal individual joy to the project. Now, Evan says, race car driving is one of the best things on the whole planet, and my personal joy would be that everybody would get a chance to experience it. So what we're going to intend then is that the cars don't harm anything, they're great to build, we're all in alignment, everything's done with high integrity, and everybody gets to get in a car and drive it. That's his joy for the planet. Everybody gets to talk. You know, he's also a hockey goalie, so I think that everybody would get to play hockey. My goal and my joy was always talking about ice cream. But ice cream for everyone. Everybody who wants to experience it gets to experience it. Now that we have a playing field that's balanced and equal and full of love, and everybody's basic needs are met, how can we actually really be alive here? How can we really manifest and create art and music and ice cream and all the beautiful, wonderful human things that we can only have here? Earth is the jewel of the galaxy. There's a whole bunch about it, but basically, this is the Disneyland that everybody wants a ticket to ride. And for every one of us, there's 6 billion on the planet, think about it. Every one of us here, there's a billion waiting for a roll of the dice to see if they can come. That's how many of them are eager to come in here and get a body. So even when you're in a body and it's a crummy life, you've got a body. You've got to kick at the can, make it what you want with it. And that is not to diminish the pain and suffering of this planet. There's a lot of kind of karma stuff happening here and give and take and balancing, but that's a whole different thing. We don't want to look at the negative, even though we know it's there. And we do our best. We're going to fix all those things, but they're going to fix as we evolve into our true being. Those things are going to fall away, and we're going to go, oh, look how easy that was. So the first fire of the grid happens on November 11, 2011. We're going to give our energy to the planet in joy. So how do you connect? You say, I'm a divine being. I'm entitled to connect. I connect. There you go. We're connected. Now, what do I do once I'm connected? Oh, yes, I have to activate that connection with joy. So you can list them, you can dance them, you can sing them. What's my joy? All these beautiful things, yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now you're ready to manifest. You're coming from a place of the heart. And there's all sorts of books, and there's all sorts of ways to get into the heart. But you know what? You all know how to get into the heart. And once you start to remember, you'll do that, and you'll go, oh, yes, I'm in the heart. I'm creating from the place of heart. When you create from a place of mind, it will fail and it will crumble and it will dissolve. Lots of people are manifesting from mind and they get a great thing and then all of a sudden it turns sour. Don't create from your mind. Create from your heart. Your divine creator beings. All of the negative energy on this plane came from us. Our fear created it. And our love will dismantle it. Is it going to happen overnight? Are we going to do this? We're going to wake up to the pink skies? It's the same way they said to me. We're not going to tell you the words to write. It's in the doing that you create the reality. You must put yourself into the equation. How long will it take? I don't know. All I know is that this new energy is going to really be powerful to amp us up. So they said it's like starting a race. So you know when you get on a racetrack and somebody says, well, I'll give you a 20-foot start. You know, I'm a better racer than you, so I'll give you a big head start there, and you start up there. Well, that's what they're offering us. You can start where we are. You can start the process where we are, 300 or 400 megahertz, greed, fear, you know, hatred. We could start there if we choose. So if we do nothing, whatever the earth is holding at that moment is what the grid will be charged with. It's simple. It's not you're good and you're bad. It's just simple. But if you want to facilitate getting your 20 feet, your head start, if you want to start at 800 megahertz as we journey out to the new time, then you can participate in this, find your joy, connect, and follow the instructions. And that will amp us up, and we'll get our extra 20 feet, and we're going to start the race ahead of the game. We all know then what we're capable of doing. And ideally, part of the instructions aside from the bus was, to start to see how many of us there are. So I have ideas around that, and my site is not even completed. It was really Alan's urging me to come here that I started this. He said, Shell, it's the 10-10-10. I was like, okay, we're going to the 11-11-11. And he's like, come on, come to New York. I do not want to come to New York, but...
I thought you did want to come to New York.
Not really.
Now you're telling me. Right.
But I was going to say, I call it the fake it till you make it. You know, practice, practice, practice. So, but I had had the most incredible week here, and the most incredible opening, and a new faith, kind of in the faking it to the making it. I'm actually walking it. Then you say, well, how come you haven't, you know, you've been doing this for 7 years? Well, there's hope for me, there's hope for all of us. Because that's what I'm telling you, that this is not a click of a switch. You don't open your eyes one day and go, oh, I'm going to be a better human. I'm going to invite the light into my life. There I go, now I am. It would be nice. I even drove in the lake. You'd think I'd wake up and be big. Oh, there you go, you got it. But I think I didn't get it. So I think I didn't get it so I could tell you. That learning to walk in the light is a daily challenge for the human. The being's going, yay, we got it. And the human goes, oh, I forgot what I was doing. So, oh yeah, I better get back in my life. Oh yeah, uplifting music, do something kind, random acts of kindness. Oh yeah, joy. So when you get the ice cream cone in your hand from Baskin Robbins, and you're kind of going, I really don't need this ice cream. That is not what you want to do. If you're going to eat it, I always say, you're going to sin, sin boldly. You know, lick, lick, lick. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. So this is all about practicing being in that place, because I'll tell you what, that place is coming. Where if you don't resonate at a higher frequency, the planet will. It is moving there. It is going to frequency. It's going to be higher. And the same way the children with ADD and all the D's that are happening on the planet are kind of shaking in their little boots, and they all feel like they're at like 10 million megahertz. They're shaking and having these problems because they came into the planet. The planet's 300. These little beautiful children are already thousands of megahertz. They're uncomfortable. But think about what's going to happen to those at 300 megahertz when the field shifts to 1,000 megahertz. Without judgment and without looking at you saying you're a good person and you're a bad person, we could very well find ourselves with what they called frequency illness. And they said you may find a lot of people very ill going, I don't know what's wrong with me. Medicine will not know what's wrong with them. And what is wrong with them is that they're at a lower frequency than the planet and they're not handling it. Now, the same way we looked at a microscope back when the first time came, and people were dying and couldn't understand it, and some guy goes, it's germs. And everybody went, you're crazy. You know, the earth is flat. You're crazy. All of a sudden, oh, look at this, right? Well, the first question is, did you think the world into being round? Did the mere suggestion of the earth being round create it to be so? Okay, there's a thought. Well, with the germs, for instance, somebody invented a little microscope, and we looked down the hole, lo and behold, there's germs. They can kill us. They're invisible, though. They're invisible. So what's the concept of this multidimensional invisible beings aren't there? All we need is the right microscope to see it. Now, my husband's a scientist. He has degrees from MIT. He was one of my touchstones in life that I wasn't met. And he said to me that the eye is actually capable of seeing so much more than it sees. So I asked the beings, why can't we see the microwaves and then this way and then that way? How come we can't see all this if the eye can see it? And they said, you'd all go mad. We couldn't handle all that stimulation. We're not ready. The machine is not ready. The being's ready, but the human's not ready. So that's where we're headed, being ready. And by the way, they're not interested in taking us all and making us all the same. They want our individuality. They want us to remain individuals as a collective whole. But the first tier is that we all love and care for each other. That's the first tier of getting this thing moving. So here's the microscope. We're looking at it. Oh, yeah, the germs are there. Well, we're just a breath away from somebody coming forward and saying, I have a probe. And when I stick it in your field, I can look at it and go, no wonder you feel sick. You're only 200 megahertz. And the doctor, instead of giving you a Prozac, is going to say, you got to go play with the kids. You got to eat some ice cream and say thank you. You got to be present in your life. Find the joy and give thanks. Oh, by the way, why don't you listen to some of this music? You know, this will make you feel better. And the guy goes, what? But the thing is, the microscope slashes the probe. It's just an invention, and it's coming. Now, the other guy comes in and goes, man, I'm feeling off. And the doctor goes, let me check you. Oh, holy mackerel, you're like 800 megahertz. No wonder you're feeling so good. That's it. These are very simple concepts, but very intense because we were taught from birth. None of this existed. And what did we do to each other but lie to each other? Santa Claus, Easter Bunny. So let's lie, 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 lie. So when truth really comes, you don't know what to believe. Now we're adults, but I'm not telling you to think about any of this with your mind. I'm telling you to feel what I'm saying to you. Do not believe me. Unless your heart says, you know what, there's something about this that's true. Now, when I finish speaking to you, I'll ask Alan to put my little disc in the computer, and I'll put the code up. And the music that I sat with and meditated with when I was first here is code. The two of them go together. It's a 10-minute meditation. 10 minutes. You're welcome to have it. I'm going to put it on the site. It's going to have the music. It's going to have the code. The code's on my arm. It's going to be on my site. It's going to be on anything and everything I can put it on. I'd love to see it on one of those Times Square's New York banners flashing. I think that'd be awesome.
What do you mean by code?
The code, okay.
Or code in general. What's
code in general. Okay, because we're a pure essence of vibration and light, we can be spoke to through vibration and light. So when the music goes ping, 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 and your ear is going, oh, that's lovely, you're getting tapped on like a Morse code. Wake up, remember who you are. So the code they sent me on my arm here, and that I'll show you after, is a wake-up code. Now, it's embedded in everything. You'll have it in music. You'll be driving your car, a song will come on, and you'll just, maybe you'll cry. You just feel so connected and true. There's something in this music. So anyway, one of Eminem's songs came on one day, and I heard code in it. Like, wake up, don't be a sheep, stop following, be a leader, stand up, be true. And I was like, this is Eminem. And so I went and meditated and said, why is the code in Eminem music? And they said, who else are the children listening to? So it's embedded in a lot of the stuff as adults we are not getting. We probably get it, but we're not getting. But it's there. And it's embedded in lots of music. Mozart is absolutely filled with healing code. Healing messages embedded in the music. Now, Alan asks me all the time, well, what's the code sound like? Well, you're going to hear music, and you might feel it in your heart. But when I started hearing it, it was like Steven Spielberg's movie. I was like, something wrong. I see me. I took it out, wiped it all off, put it back in the seat, closed, and it's going. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. It's like I'm hearing a language under the music. So I called Bradfield up and I said, listen, tell me where's this music come from? And he goes, I'm in the shower and it just kind of downloads me. And then I go and he said, sometimes I'm, you know, dripping water at the thing, laying down the music. Well, he heard what he laid down. He embedded it in the music. And so he hears it in the shower. Funny enough, Shelly gets and listens to it in the bathtub. Water is a conductive agent for us. We are water. Water is truth and essence. Put a little bit of salt in it. Sit with music in your tub. Ah, I remember. Because this is all about remembering. So the bus thing they told me to do, by the way, I do not have a bus. Anybody on the planet out there hearing me? I need a bus. 6-4. Where was I?
Bus.
Just
to let you know, there is a bus.
There's a bus?
Yes. With the sleep
sport?
Two little people,
one of the groups in my club is Evolver. Evolver Dead.
Oh, that's Evolver. The green bus.
They know.
So anyway, we were talking about water. I was telling you about Bradfield was receiving the code through the water, and then he was embedding it without even knowing what he did in the music, sending it to me. I listen to it in the bathtub, and instead of hearing, you know, you light up my life, I hear beep 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 beep. And then all of a sudden, I stopped hearing beeps and tones, and I heard words, and they were the instructions. And they were embedded in the music that he was creating. And then I started hearing it in other music. I saw it in television shows. But there's also code out there telling you that you're a big sheep and that you should treat your family and friends miserably because it's quite funny. And then once you see it, you should laugh at it. And I won't even tell you the names of the shows, but I'll tell you what, your children love them. And they're being taught over and over again that cruelty is funny. It's embedded in what we're watching. So the code goes both ways. Well, where would the other code be coming from? Our density, our fear. I don't get into defining what it really is. I'm just not paying attention to it anymore. I've stopped watching TV. My children are still watching a little bit of it, but as soon as I see what I call code, I tell them about it. And my son goes, well, you're absolutely right. It's like, well, hopefully you'll stop watching that. So anyway, the bus plan is to careen North America, bring the message to the universities where they want me to deliver it first and foremost, because the youth are the leaders of the new movement. We, as the people sitting here, are macheting out a different path, a new way. We need the youth to see you don't have to do what your grandparents did and your grandparents did. There's always a new way, a better choice. So the universities are definitely where they want to put the energy and effort. And I'm going to travel and make it absolutely as cheap as possible to deliver the message and tell everybody that what I've told you today.
Is the code changing because we're evolving? So, I mean, the code today wasn't what it was 100 years ago, or was it?
I think the code has, since the dawn of time, Ben, be kind and loving to each other. Remember who you are and uplift yourself to a place of that true status.
Would code really be a language for reflecting certain states, basically?
You're absolutely right. It's a language.
So there's a constant aspect to it. And then just one is at this end of the scale, and one is at this end of the scale.
Absolutely. So the code we want to be working with is the one that makes us feel light and good and happy. And when we watch something, ask yourself really, truly, objectively, how did I feel about what I just saw or experienced? And then from that, make a choice whether you want to do it again or not. So your heart knows. And I use the word code, but really you hit the nail on the head with the word language. The language that we're hearing embedded in what we're experiencing on the planet, and we either get it visually or auditorily, is the language of the universe. Frequency and light.
We are that.
We are that. That's why we know what it is.
We resonate with it at one point or another. And so the conscious choice and the free will is about knowing that and choosing to move into that direction.
Yeah, we need to see another world and then choose to be it. But you remember it. I know all of you have had this experience, the 11-11s, it's a really big one, that you just go, what is going on? I just feel something. I feel truth there. And so we remember the language of the universe. They said to me that every human is a note in the symphony of the universe, and that your true essence, your true life body, with its resonance of harmony, comes from 13 crystalline pings. They all make a tone, and together they make one vibrational tone that is your signature for all eternity, and that's the truth that you bring with you every planet, every dimension that you go to this place. And you have it here too with you now.
So, I just want to get this understanding. After, that's for you. You're here to get ready for this transformation, right? And, this event is coming, whether we want it or not. I mean, but to prepare, the more we prepare, the more like it will propel us into an uplifting vibration because we're being assisted by this thing. And afterwards, what do we expect?
Okay. I have no idea what to expect because we're creating it. But like a racer gets ready to run in the Olympics, They don't show up the day of the Olympics and go and race against the other guys. They practice. They make their bodies ready for it. They put in high-frequency nutritional value in their body. They practice the movement that makes it easy. And then they do it over and over and over and over and over till the big day. Well, I'm not sure we're getting a big day. They said that evolution was only partially correct. Evolution does happen. The species changes and morphs and grows. But the big changes came from evolution plus a quantum leap. And they said you will never find the missing link that you're all seeking because we're injected with a program that says, I have a desire to be more than I am. It's what drives us to buy stuff, actually, because we're trying to feed it by external sources. But what that desire to be more than I am means is that I want to remember my true essence. So a pool of amoeba collectively one day kind of go, yeah, there must be more to life than this. Now, they're amoeba, so I'm sure that I'm having a conversation about it, but you get my drift. Enough of them collectively say yes to that moment. And there's a quantum leap, and all of a sudden we have a new species. That's how these things have been catapulting to the dawn of time. And humanity, too, is coming to a point where we will now consciously choose the path we take. Up until now, we've just been like the amoeba going, yes, there must be more than this, pain, there's something different. Yes, there must be more than this, pain, there's something different. But this time we're going, yes, there must be more than this. Are you guys going to take part in this? Because I want there to be more than this. Let's consciously pain this time instead of just being thrown by the evolutionary quantum movement. Yes?
The people that I'm telling you about are people who are involved with Burning Man. And that's actually Harvey, this guy from San Francisco, who I know. He was sitting in the desert with a few guys drinking a beer. That's what he tells me. He was in Nevada, Black Rock, and he thought, gee, why don't we make a new community in the desert? The government won't bother us. We can create a new world out here in the middle of nowhere, in the desert. Who would care? And then people started coming, and they started building domes, and they started, they don't charge much, and just to build the domes, and put food and water, and they're self-sustaining, and they do it every year, and Burning Man
is born.
I mean, it's the amazing experience. You know?
Exactly. And that, you know what, that's funny, because that's a cute little, this is what they're doing, and they've done on a small scale what we can do on a big scale.
But they're not small, though, anymore.
No,
they're
of course.
Now they're calling it future. Earth.
Well, they said to me that until humanity starts to understand the concept of take what you need and give the rest away, we're going to be caught in the loop. So what we have to start doing is realizing how much extra do I have to give? And they gave me a project called Project Cause, where we start to funnel all our manpower, all our money, and all our mind power into one cause, achieving Maslow's for the planet. First tier of Maslow's. And I remember having an interview one time and saying this to the interviewer, and they said, oh, that'll never happen. And I went, what? Okay. Because I was really thrown off. This was a spiritual person telling me, oh, that'll never happen. And then I was kind of thrown off my edge a bit, saying, well, yes, it will when we think it into being, when we dream it into being. The next quantum leap for us, a man named Valaldo, Alberto Valaldo, called it Homo Illuminus. And he's so perfectly dead on. It's where the energy by Alan asks what's coming for the future. And again, please know that I have no timeline. They don't have any timeline. But we will become less dense and more translucent. We will need less sustenance, but we will still be able to eat for pleasure. Your entire vessel, the being that you're living in, okay, so the human that the being is living in, is built for pleasure. It was always intended as a pleasure vessel. Eyes, ears, nose, mouth, touch. This whole vessel is one big happy box. How do we make it happy? You know, how do we please it? And the only kind of rule that goes with it is do no harm, honesty, integrity, say thank you for the pleasure. So as long as your pleasure does not involve harming anyone, and it's done with honesty and integrity, go for it. It's really a simple kind of concept, but the religions of the world, and again, you know, everybody's done their job. I'm not bashing anybody. I'm saying that they planted the seed that the way to salvation was through suffering. And what I've been taught is the way to the light is through pleasure. But for pleasure for everyone, not just for the selected few that can afford to have it. So imagine, and I'll plant this seed for you right now. Imagine if we had our 6 billion people on the planet fed with their water, with their comfortable places to sleep and be in love with each other. What would they do? They would create beauty. Our natural instinct as this human vessel is to see beauty and emulate. Create a different kind of beauty. Do you know why honeybees make hives with little honeycombs? Because they see the grid. The honeybees see the grid that I'm telling you is right here. You can't see it. Your eyes haven't adjusted yet. You don't have a funky little machine to look in the hole. But it's there. And the honeybees see it, and they build it into their little home. So I've been talking on time. And anybody needs to know anything?
Any questions? Chris.
Yes, I have a specific question that it's been bothering me a little bit for a little while. Has to do with your statement that I totally agree with, that the oceans and the water of the world are like the blood of the planet, our blood, pretty obvious. And that, of course, consciousness moves through water. There's been an announcement that the United States Navy going to be going all hell-bent, literally, into war games in the Pacific, and then moving to the Atlantic, and that they're going to plan to eliminate about 11 million aquatic mammals.
Okay. So what you're asking about is that this horrible atrocity is about to happen.
Right, over the next 5 years.
Okay.
Plan.
We must see it. Can you fix it?
I'm trying to figure out ways to fix it.
Okay. Well, the thing is, we're all sitting here in this room. There's not a thing, unless somebody here is chief of state or something that I don't know about. There's very little we as a human in our own little piece of the country can do. So what their instructions are, see the atrocity, the thing that's happening that we are, like, that's terrible. Guess what you just created? 300 megahertz.
Right.
I'm so enraged. I'm going to stop this. Rage, fury, anger, fear, upset, you're driving your field right down, and they're going, woo-woo, look at that, you're 300 megahertz. So what do? We see it, and you can work towards anything. You can put your energy towards anything as long as it is not driven by rage and fear and I'm going to fix this and this is an atrocity. As long as you don't hold that energy while you do it, you're right on. But what you see is somebody like me who can't do anything about it, and I'm going to travel around in a bus talking about joy, and this is happening. I see it, and the instructions are, yes, I see you. I see what's happening, and I know that it is a symptom of where we live on the planet in our humanity right now. I send you love every day, every minute, every toilet moment. Remember I said you when you have your pee, whatever cause that you want it to be. I send you love. I send you love. I see you healed and whole, lifted and enlightened. Everything's wonderful and beautiful. Now I turn and I put my energy towards something that will actually be a high frequency. And that's how we collectively start to stop these things. Now there's all sorts of things that we're going to do in our humanity to stop things. But we must do them with the heart open, going, I'm in love. I'm walking in love. I'm sharing my message in love. And therefore you're still resonating at 800 megahertz. Because all these beautiful people out there trying to fix things in their anger are lowering all the field. So it's great, but make sure that you keep your frequency about what's happening full of love for hope for tomorrow, hope for a better way, hope that, oh yeah, when this happens, this is all going to fall away. We're going to change the illusion. Sometimes I feel like we're on the big Star Trek holodeck. And that one day they're either going to flip the switch and say, game's over, or they're going to say, have you figured it out yet? Think yourself out of it. So that's not to diminish what's happening. You understand, right? So everything that comes up now that we immediately react to with rage or atrocity or that's unfair, and we start wringing our fists and being angry, catch yourself, oh yes, I'm learning to walk in the light. And you say, that's a symptom of where humanity lives right now. It will be different. I see it different. And if you need to do something, sit down and write out what that looks like. Tell your friends, let's sit down together and see what it would look like if this was not happening. But keep it out of the negatives, the nots and the nevers and the don'ts and the anger. Keep it in the high vibration of love, and I'm creating a new world out of my heart. And none of this exists in that world. Is that, yeah? Yes.
So what's the critical mass that you will hit with the fire, the bridge one?
With the number?
Yeah.
They said that each loving heart that contributes in peace and joy holds 1,000 squares on the grid. That means Joe with his panda bear going, yeah, I think I can, gets a little boost from your absolute, I know I can. So I don't have a number of what that looks like. And when I first got the messages, they kept saying over and over to hold the four corners. And I thought the four corners were north, south, east, and west. But there's an energy vortex in this country.
New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, Utah.
Right. There's an energy vortex there. And so hold the four corners, what does that mean?
It could be there.
But maybe it's just a matter of making sure that during that time we send a little bit of love to that vortex and it's portal in. See, this is why hearing things is difficult. I can only tell you really what I heard and not exactly what it means.
Maybe it's the four corners of the planet.
Well, that's the north, south, east, and west. But regardless, hold the four corners in your heart as truth will mean something different to all of us. But my sense is that I need to go to Arizona.
Yeah.
Not everybody, me.
So that means 6 million people, if it's 100,000, would come in 6 billion people.
Yeah, let's go with that. That's awesome. Let's get right. 6 million people.
Well, you already got 40.
Well, they all checked in. And see, I don't really know because this time I would like to have some sort of sign-up sheet. And maybe we'll use, you know how the kids are natural networkers. They're all doing it. They all know it. Let's give them a focus. And they have a plan for that. Anybody out there in TV land or radio land, I have a whole bunch of instructions about that I can share with the planet. But anyway.
That's what I want to do with the app.
Yeah.
With the app? Are you developing an app for Fire the Grid?
That's
pretty good.
That's why I'm here.
There you go. That's for Fire the Grid. I thought that was something you had before supper. See, I'm really
patient.
I'm really a Luddite, and my message is coming from a very pure place. I don't know much about that.
Art had a suggestion.
Yes.
Well, actually, what I was going to say is the four corners of all Native American reservation property, and actually the Hopis or something.
I think wherever we are as a human, when we open our heart and contribute love to the project,
Native American
we're contributing to the four corners. We're creating that full red connection. And I was telling you about what I thought. Now, they've shown me a whole bunch of stuff, and like I said, I can share it. But basically, we want to know how many we are. So the kids use names like my kid uses Chaos Kid. Who knows? It's one of the things he likes. He thinks it's cool. It brings him happiness. Great. Better check about this when I get home. I might give away his secret or something. But anyway, on this kind of sign-up sheet, we don't even need to give our real names or anything. What we want to do is know how many we are. So the instructions were to create, they gave me all the names and stuff, but every time I say something on live radio, somebody takes the site. So I'm not going to tell you the name.
Okay, good. Well, we'll just get a site where people can register with their email.
Well, just right now. Yeah. It's more than that. Huh? They want us to register according to longitude and latitude.
Oh.
They want to know where we are on the planet and how many of us there are.
The beings want to know this.
But
They meaning collective wholeness of the universe, the galaxy. We are about to birth something
new.
They know where we are. They want
us
to
know
where
we
are.
There you go.
Angel Michael and Gabriel. They know where the heck we are.
Okay, so they're
out of town. They know what's going on here.
So this
they
is,
want us to connect to each other.
Right.
So that we can partner up and
yeah.
make a global village. That's
well, they've actually given me the instructions of how to create a world within a world. But all of this stuff is so far out of my realm. But anyway, you hook up, you connect through longitude and latitude, and you list yourself, and we start to build. They also
this guy
said,
has that.
Well, they also said that as we get closer and closer to the date, this is a kind of a cool thing, but they said to take a yellow ribbon. Once again, no money needed. A piece of yellow ribbon tied around your left arm for your intention that I am defined as a being who cares and wants change. I am present in all that I do, and when I see you, I recognize you, you will recognize me, and we will become this new planet together.
Mm.
So this yellow ribbon tied around the arm probably goes with all these ribbons people wear on their chest, but this was not a kind of little middle thing you bought. It was just a little piece of yellow ribbon tied on your arm.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be like start to circulate as 1111.
As you get closer and closer, and then somebody goes, how come you got a yellow ribbon on your arm? And you get a moment to tell them what you're doing.
Mm.
You know? Yeah, well, here's what I'm doing. Check it out. And so, which, check it out at firethegrid.com. The site is not completely up and ready. The beautiful people helping me, I've been dragging my hiney going, I don't think so. So last minute, I dumped it all on them. And anybody checking in will see all the old stuff. But the new stuff is coming, and I welcome you to check back again and again until I get it done, like get what I need on there done. And then, of course, getting in this bus so that I can get into small rooms like this and big rooms like this and just tell them the same story I just told you. Hopefully.
So what should we do? Is there anything to do? I mean, we'll sign up, but we'll just set the intention and then just wait for the moment to come?
Spread the word.
Spread the word?
Yeah.
Of course
I'm doing it. Well, actually they said, remember all the things I told you to practice? They said in practicing all the things that we've given you, you become a beacon of light for another. And somebody's going to notice that, and they go, you know what, you seem different. What are you doing? And you get a second to tell them what you're doing. And, of course, you tell them, I'm practicing, because we're not all know-it-alls, and we're not like, you got to do this. Because all those attempts to get somebody to hear your hurt is going to push them away. You are Johnny Appleseed dropping a seed in their lap, and you know what, they'll come back in a week or two, and they'll go, what were you talking about that stuff? Tell me about that stuff. And you'll drop a seat in someone else's lap, and without any pressure or must-dos, or if you're coming from that place of beating them over the head with a rubber mallet, you're getting nothing. But if you drop a seed, whatever way your heart drops seeds, they'll come back, they'll ask you what's going on, and they'll call you up and say, listen, tell me, what was that website? Tell me about what's going on.
But how do we go from making it sort of your vision, your thing, to making it our collective? I mean, is there...
Well, it's not mine, for starters. Remember, I didn't want to do this. I'm planting seeds, and you guys are going to start your own groups, and you're going to start your own ideas and concepts. This man talked about great ideas about stuff. I'm willing to work with anybody. Calls me up and says, I got a great plan. I will do all I can in my human vessel to accommodate all these great little projects that are going to happen. They told me, I own this site so I can say it. They said, start a site called Great Changes, GR8. See this? Changes. And instead of looking at all the Hollywood people and all celebrities of the world and saying, look what she's wearing, we look at what they're doing. Some of them are doing great stuff, and it's hidden under all this BS of what they're wearing, what they drive, who they went to state with, and so on and so on. So the fact that the celebrities are out there doing stuff, we need to implant that in what we're doing. So building a world within a world, our little communities go, well, they did this, why don't we try it? It's in the doing that you create the reality. So all these little sub pockets of people doing the same types of things are going to pop up, and we're going to start coming together bigger and bigger and bigger. And then one day, Martin Luther King, how many people were in that audience of his, you know? Just because he said his few words. That's what's happening here. We're saying a few words to each other, and one day we're going to rise up, and we're going to say enough. And now, we're doing projects for the people, by the people. We're cutting the governments out and the middlemen out. We're doing them for as cheaply as possible. We're not looking for profit or gain. And we're trying to figure out how we can make enough money to do the next project. Not so I can buy a new suit or a new Lamborghini. I have enough. Everybody in this room has enough. Matter of fact, many of us in this particular continent have enough. Now, that's not to say lots of our people don't. But it's about, you know, I said I'll be shot for sure because I'm telling you, stop buying stuff unless it's for somebody else. How many pure supplements do you really need? And that's what they said, not me. Anything else?
I just wanted to say that isn't the power of intention already changed the energy? So you've already given us some good focus as far as intention or direction.
Absolutely. Just thinking differently about what I said. The fissure of possibility has been planted in your mind. Now, you guys in this room already had that fissure of possibility. They want me to reach the fence sitters. They said there's three types of people on the planet. Those who already have dogma in place. Do not try to change their minds about their God or their religion. Offer a fissure of possibility. If your God is omnipotent, why can this not be true? Two, New Age metaphysical people who are sitting right in front of me going, yeah, this all makes perfect sense to me. They're easy to, they get it quickly. They understand what you're saying. They want to tell someone else. It starts to roll. It's like, honey, all of a sip, right? The third group and the biggest group I call the Oprah people. They're fence sitters. Good people who would do something if they knew what to do. Think about it. There's more of them out there than any other bunch, but they're like Joseph with their Canterbury going, what the heck am I going to do? You know? I'm doing the best I can. I'm good to my kids. I try to... We're not bad people. We just don't know what to do. Tell us what to do. And so the smallest fissure of possibility, the smallest practices, don't bombard people with your little seed. You're not planting, you know, a bowling ball seed. You're planting a little apple seed. And you're saying, listen, just give it a thought. Touch into your heart and see, does it resonate? And that's what we all are here in this room. We're seed planters. We're metaphysical seed planters. And we're just offering fissures of possibility to a planet that really needs a different way.
Hmm. Should we play the music and look at, you want to look at the picture? On
yeah,
the,
I'll give you my this.
I have it actually on my computer.
Oh,
but
see, he took that. Isn't he clever? Yeah. Who are these seeds? Now, this is an interesting question. They said, we are everywhere and all things to all people. Do not define us or you will disintegrate in your differences. Because some of you will see us as angels and others will see us as extraterrestrials. We will come to you with what best gives you purpose, hope, and peace. And as you die, what you expect to show up will. So as you're leaving your physical body, what you expect to be there will be there. So if you're expecting your nanny or your grandma, she'll come. If you're expecting angels, they'll come. But it's all the same essence. If you're expecting the Virgin Mary or Jesus, they'll come. But it's all the same beautiful light energy from Source showing up in the way your heart needs to see it and feel it. We come in that way, they're there with us as we enter. We leave that way. They're with us as we leave, but only in the form that we have manifested now through a programmed life on the planet. So that's who they are. They're liquid light of love from this pool of love. They said you are a cell of light from a pool of light, which they call the brilliant infinity. And before I finish up, I'll leave you with a vision that they showed me. That took me out of my body. They said, do you want to see how much a piece of this divine light you really are? And I said, yes. So I had an out-of-body experience, and I went out so far through the heavens that I wondered if I was going in. It was really hard to determine. But I assumed it was out because I saw stars and cosmosy type of stuff. And I was like, okay, I'm going out, 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 out. And it took me out so far that everywhere there wasn't something, there was this pink iridescent plasma that had breath. And it was slow and melodic and beautiful, and it was full of beauty and rapture, and it was just pure bliss. And it crackled with iridescence and little bits of electricity running through it, and they said, this is the source from whence you come. And then a hand came into the field of vision, and it grabbed a little bit of the spongy plasma, and it pulled it, and it pulled it, and it pulled it right through the stratosphere, atmosphere, cosmosphere, whatever fair, and it put it in the head of a human. And it did this a couple of times till I got it, you know, what they were showing me. And then when they pulled me back and panned back from the Earth, there were 6 billion beautiful pink threads coming from the planet to this breathing, beautiful pink plasma. This is how much a piece of this divine source you are. As you work and grow towards your true knowledge, that thread becomes thicker and thicker and thicker until it's a huge tube that feeds you every day. And when you're in fear, it becomes tighter and smaller and more thread-like, but it never, never, never breaks. You are always a piece of the divine source that you came from. And when you leave, that beautiful little piece that's inside of you will go back and will choose another set of experiences, and you will do something different. But right now you're here. So be defined, be present, and become what you were intended to be when you started out.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's the string that connects all beings.
Are all these individual threads joined?
At the source.
They're joined at the source.
Yeah, but there's a grid between us that is different than the thread. The thread is your complete and utter divine connection to God. That little piece of stuff is inside of us. But between us, we have this beautiful honeycomb grid that we can turn on. And you guys all know, I know you know it, because you've had instinctual moments where you know when someone's going to say something, you know when somebody's going to call, you know when somebody's going to show up. That's the grid doing a little crackle. And you remember, I have these experiences all the time. Just pay attention to them. That's the grid kind of, I call flashing up. You know, and we're very much like computers. This big, beautiful source is like the mainframe. And I don't know anything about computers, but there's all these if-then loops. And we're like little satellite computers to this beautiful, big mainframe. And the information transfers through long threads of light with binary code on it. And it's not dark and light like binary code is. It's light and lighter. And they're long threads. And the shamans long ago would open your chakras and pull them out to change the code. And as they pulled them out, the threads would come out like spider web. How do I know this? I had a beautiful encounter with shamans. And when I saw them doing the work, I could see the code coming out of the human. So they pull out the old code going, this doesn't work anymore. It's not serving me and it's keeping me down. And then the shaman holds their hand up and fills it back up with light, with new code that's more beneficial for the body. But we have that right to do it ourselves. Like we can start to say, oh, this old thinking doesn't work for me. So you think the thought, don't go over and over and over the thought. I release this thought. Now don't state the thought out loud. State the replacement. So instead of saying the negative two, I eat healthy food. I'm drawn to healthy food. It makes me feel wonderful. People eat whole. So don't state the other one. The voice is the code giver. The sound is the code giver.
Sound creates
form. Yes.
Fueled by emotion.
It's fueled by emotion. And the chakra system that runs up and down the spine is the dump site. So we have an emotion from the field. The emotion triggers something, we dump it into the spine and we react the way we've always reacted from the program that we had. We come with a program, it's our initial birth program, it tells us what we look like, what we need to get, like so if you need to be 6 feet tall and really strong, or whether you need to be 3 feet tall and handicapped, you're going to get the product that you needed to start the journey. And from the birth experience, we start to program the code ourselves. So they talk about the birth experience because they said you're about to birth a new humanity. And I said, well, I'm not even pregnant. Why are you talking about birth? And they said, because when you have a real baby in real time and real form, you need people around going, welcome, come, it's a beautiful place, come and be with us, because it's not even a human, it's a soul. And it comes in and needs support. So we have this sterile, cold, don't let nobody come in the same way hospitals do with my son, you know. It's sterile, cold, the soul's afraid. when the baby is born, it's all about walking in with joy and telling it all the great things it's going to have when it comes here. Come be with us. Come and experience this. It's great. We're going to take care of you. We're going to love you. You're going to have everything you need. You're going to have a great experience here on this earth. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
So it's coming in on 11-11-11?
The energy, remember I said the egg going in the jello, as that closes up and we're completely encased, there's a 27-hour period that we're able to cope our own program into the field. But that one particular hour, now did they do that because we all relate to the 11-11-11? Is that the peak of it? They haven't talked about that. They said this is the hour. This is it. So we all know 11-11-11. We feel it in our hearts. So many people are going, what's with the 11th? So they've given us that day. So let's assume it is the peak of the energy shower. It's the peak of the grid. And go with it.
Here we go. They've been opening it for years.
Yes.
10-10-10 was amazing, you know.
This all started back somewhere around 1987.
They've been opening gates.
Opening gates, yes.
Is it for an hour-long meditation?
It's 1 hour, yeah. And it's about, if you meditate or pray, do it, but only if it brings you joy. If not, gather your children around you, put on some great music, get out the crayons, manifest with your children. If you don't have children, get comfy somewhere, be at peace and joy with yourself, eat some good food, find your joy, be present and accountable with it, and then start planning what would the world look like if it was perfect in my view, and what joy would I bring to it? Mm-hmm. What would I implant in there?
When was the last time the beings came to you? I mean, in that way, giving you a message.
Just right now.
Just now?
Yeah,
really?
But I was sitting there in that chair.
What did they say?
No, it's for you.
That's for me? Okay, we'll talk
actually,
later.
Actually, I asked about Alan. I never work with anybody that I don't ask directly about. You too can do this. If you've met somebody and they're giving you some advice or they're asking you to join their project or why don't you help me out, sit quietly, open yourself to truth. Yes, I'm a divine being. Yes, I'm allowed to connect. I connect. I say it all the time. I connect. So you connect and then you say, okay, listen, this human's come forward, state your name, I'd like to work with him. It feels okay, but I'd like to know for sure. So please give me a sign, and you'll get tingles, you'll get rushes, you might see something on the street. You've got to watch for it. And then it goes, yes or no. So I'll give you an example of what that looks like for me. I asked about a woman one time that I met, and I said, should I work with her? You know, she's good for me. And I did what I just said. I connected and asked, and they put her in a steel box, slam, 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 slam. It wrapped it in chains, and a foot kicked it, and now it's dark. I went, okay, that's a big old no.
They're giving you symbols that work with your subconscious.
Right, and they will work with your mind. And they're not going to send you symbols that I would relate to. They're going to send you something new.
And what did... Okay, go ahead.
You occurred to me as within the Judeo-Christian realm, historically, these beings were related to as the Elohim.
Well, I've heard about the Elohim before, and I've had so many beautiful stories, and I always say the same thing. That's a beautiful story, and I'm sure it resonates with lots of people, but my guys have said, do not align myself with anything, because somebody will tell them that my thing...
No, I'm not saying align yourself. I'm just saying they were tuned in, too.
I don't know the story, but I've heard I've heard a little bit about that. But in my case, one day I said, in jest, I mean, you guys are getting a good feel of who I am. I mean, you only got to spend a bit of time with me to know that I'm a bit of a prankster and silly. And anyway, in a room full of people, I said, oh, it's like the Borg. Resistance is futile. Well, my God, you should have seen what they said about me. She's a reptile. She's trying to get your mind. I was like, please use your heart. If nothing I said resonates with you, then just keep on walking. But if something did, great.
I was going to say they call me Elohim, but I call them
You call him what?
Eddie.
See, there you go. Eddie's talking. Yeah. I do have a being that I converse with, this kind of a guide, which is different than them. And his name is Aramis. He comes regularly, and I say, Aramis. He goes, yes, Shelley. And in the beginning, I got nothing. I say, Aramis, and I get nothing, and I'm like, no, my knees, where are you? And then I had an incredible experience at James Gilligan's Ranch and an incredible healing. And again, I have some slides. Anybody wants to hang out for a few minutes, I'll show them to you. And then when I came home and I said Aramis, he'd say Yeshel. And since that day, I never say Aramis without getting Yeshel. You know, it's like, yes, I'm here. I'm like, okay, just checking.
What did they say about me?
Oh, feel that ego going.
I never said I was beyond ego.
When I asked about Alan,
I will share. Here.
When I asked about Alan, they showed me this mighty tree with these huge limbs spreading up to the heavens and these huge roots going into the ground and this big, round trunk that was weighted and heavy. And that's what they showed me, and then there was a whole bunch of personal things that kind of went with that. But the image, of, I mean, it's much different than putting somebody in chains and kicking them out. So you're
nice
a,
to them.
But see how kind of his spirit must be like Eddie. Boom, you know.
Well, you're saying never stop. It worked 24 hours a day, you're saying.
I know. That's why you're so tiny and I'm not. So it's like 5 to 9.
Okay.
I'll show you the code that they've given. We can get out if you want.
No, let's play the music and watch the code.
Well, if you'd like to, it's a 10-minute set of music. If you want to just kind of come down from the energy of the room. And it's what? It's 5 to 9. So I'm not in any rush. My dear, beautiful friend is here. She may be.
No.
Okay. So, you know, we can interact a bit. You can go home. This is your game. I'm a messenger. That's it. I gave you my seed. If I can answer a question or give you a hug or you feel connected to something, awesome. If not, see you later. Tell your friends. Don't tell your friends. I hope your heart says to tell someone. You know how they say if you buy something and it's crummy, we tell 12 people? And if it's really good, we never tell anyone, type of thing. So let's do it the other way around.
Okay, so we're going to play. We want to tell them what we'll listen to and what we'll see here.
Okay, I'm going to just, I'm going to take out this book. Our group is small enough to share this. This is my beautiful friends, Bradfield and ML. I'm going to just send this around because I want you to see their photographs. They can't be here with me. They're doing a project somewhere else. We work together as three, and you'll find yourself in threes all the time. And we're humans. We say and do things that are not quite right, and then we go, oh, and that's not what I meant. Please let me practice, you know? So I'm just going to send you their picture while the music is on, and you can look or not. Again, this is yours.
Okay.
So do whatever you like.
So what are we going to hear now? Just tell them.
Okay. Bradfield heard this music in the shower. He created it in his form. I was completely removed from projects. I said I wasn't doing it anymore. I told the beings I wasn't doing it anymore. And then they came one night, and we had some intimate time together, and they said, Shelley, it's time to call Bradfield and ask for song number 5. This is song number 5. And it's on this album, Buddha Spirit 3. If you like this music, if you're drawn to it, if you think you want to experience it, he has a package on his site called Shelley's Package or Shelley's Selections or something. But the ones that I've selected are all full of code. So he has lots of beautiful music that is not there. Some of it is full of code, and I've told you which ones it is. Again, I support his music, but it's certainly not a plug. You don't have to go and buy it. There's 30 minutes of free music on my site, so feel free to download it. This music, I can well imagine Bradfield will share it with the world.
What's it called?
Oh, good Lord.
Okay,
I'll
read.
It's song number 5. It's a Ashmisha Ribi Jar Jar.
It's a mantra. That's a mantra.
I love you dearly.
We're listening to Bradfield. This is a coded message that Shelley has got. Thank you.
Thank you.
Radio show. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. I've been talking to Shelley Yates, or Shelley Yates has been talking to us. And her website is firethegrid.org, firethegrid.com. You can listen to this repeated on newrealities.com or on BBS Radio. Thanks to Don in the studio. And everyone's listening. You can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. And we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. Good night.